What is up, Moncton? Welcome to another episode of the Maritime Division's number one podcast, the Moncton Wildcast. If you're a new listener, we welcome you. If you're a long-time listener, thanks for coming back. As always, I am your host, Adam. I'm here with my two co-hosts, Mr. Jeremy Boucher.
Pretty cold out there lately, eh, boys?
Yeah, pretty chilly.
You know what's great on a cold day? Heated seats. You know why they call them heated seats? Because rear defroster was already taken.
Nah. Not one of your best. Not one of your best.
Oh, come on.
I liked it. Not one of your best. Your knock-knock jokes is what kills me.
Yeah. Your latte one last week.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That's why this one, you set the bar so high with the latte. We're not.
Oh my God, I feel like we're cyberbullying Jeremy, and we're not on the internet right now. I'm sorry, man. It was great. That was funny.
That was awesome.
I'm a millennial. I'm offended.
The other voice is my other co-host, Mr. Chris Dobson. Welcome back.
Man, thank you so much for having me. Fun fact of today. Did you know that shark attacks are more common in Florida than voter fraud?
No, I didn't.
Also, starfish do not have blood. Carry on.
Oh, man.
I've got a question for you, Adam.
Yes.
Every week you say you're listening to the number one podcast in the Maritime Division.
Yep.
Is that statistically correct, or are you just making that up?
No one else took it, so I took it.
I will take a guess here. I don't think the Hockey Hack Cast and the
Herdcast.
I don't think they have listeners in Portugal.
Yeah, Japan. We got one in Japan.
Russia.
The Russians. Yeah.
California, that stuff.
Russians. That's Vladimir Putin himself. Yeah.
No, that's just,
always curious. I sat it and I was like, because if that's a statistic, I want to put that on a sweater. It's just like number one podcast, the Maritime Division.
Nope. And if you listen to the Hockey Hat Cast, you might find out who the number two show is in the Maritime Division.
That sounds a little biased to me. Bet you the Herdcast boys might have something to say about that. But all right, carry on.
I guess we'll figure it out.
Carry on.
So, quick question. I put it out on the social medias last night because I had nothing for you guys. So, I got our fans to give us some questions, and they did. So, we're going to go to Facebook and look at a couple of them. Speaking of the Hockey Hat Cast, Jake Murphy, the trade deadline's over. He's asking, who's going to have the best record, Moncton, Halifax, Charlottetown, or Cape Breton?
Love the question, Jake. Thanks for asking it. I
put him in order. We kind of did that last week.
Not even. He asked who's going to finish with the best record. It's going to be Halifax. The Halifax Mooseheads are going to finish with the best record in the Maritime Division.
I agree. I mean, it's Cape Breton's kind of had Halifax's number lately, but I just don't think there's enough games against each other the rest of the season for them to really close a gap.
Concur.
Yep. Eric Murray asked, do you think players should be suspended for embellishing?
That's a great question. And the reason I say it's a great question is because they can't fine them like they do in the National Hockey League. Right? Because in the National Hockey League, it goes to an entire board of governance. They review it. There's a team that reviews it. If they find you are guilty of diving, a.k.a. my boy P.K. Subban, I think, has seen a couple fines come his way. They can't do that in junior hockey. So if there is a player who is constantly diving, and I'm going to go back a few years here, and Jeremy, you know what I'm talking about, the diving Dane himself, when Nick Ehlers was here. He dove on every play humanly possible when he was in Halifax. Every time we played against him, there was more Olympic diving scoreboard signs in the crowd than you could possibly imagine. Now, again, unreal talent, having a great pro career. But ultimately, if it happens enough, maybe a one-game suspension is not a bad idea. I don't think we'll ever see it. But at the same time, I don't mind the idea just because you can't find the kids. But it has to stop. Mm-hmm. It has to stop.
Oh, yeah. I can probably go. I literally just completely zoned out. Had no idea what we were talking about. I was actually looking to see how many games Halifax had left against Cape Breton this year, and I believe there's just the one. If I'm looking at this correct, so
that
really, and I'm assuming it's in Halifax because every game is going to be
Cape Breton. Actually,
really, one of the rare road games to the second half of the season for Halifax.
There's a 6-point difference between the two teams, and one game left against each other. I don't know.
What's their record against each other? They're pretty even, aren't they?
It's got to be pretty close. I mean, Cape Breton, I think.
I know. Cape Breton, Cape Breton won the last two, I think. The one in Halifax, they won in a shootout. The one I was at, the one I was in Halifax for, and then there was the one they just won.
They lost the two in the Hurley Cup weekend, I think. So I think they're pretty even.
I'd be pretty close, you'd think. Yeah, I mean they match up really well, really well. They'll be fun to watch throughout the, like those two teams outside the Moncton Wildcat organization, of course, and you know Charlottetown somehow still keeps winning. It doesn't make sense to me. That just goes to show exactly how good Jim Halton really is over there and what he's doing to the guys. But yeah, no, ultimately it's. Where'd we go with this? Oh, we're still talking about the
suspension. So would if they ever brought it in and you got a kid got a game, is it one of those escalating where if he does it again, now it's
no, two? Your first one's a warning. There has to be a warning. You're not just going to start suspending.
No, kids. I mean, once they actually suspend him, like you get one game. So the kid gets one game, comes out 2 games later, he dives again. Is it 2 games now or is it still just always that one
game? I will tell you right now, if it ever gets to that point,
yep.
I mean, I don't think, I mean, how often are we seeing an embellishment penalty taken right now? Are players a little light on their feet? A little, but again, they're taught that at a young age, right? You're trying to give your team the advantage. I don't think we'll ever see a situation where extra suspensions will get tallied on. Would I like to see it? Hey, you know what? Maybe. It's one of those rules I wouldn't hate, but at the same time, I don't know. I don't think we'll ever see it. I don't think they'll ever change it, but maybe they got to look at doing something if it becomes a problem.
I guess when it comes to diving, it's one of those needs to be looked at because refs are watching the game at 100 miles an hour, right? Some of these calls, you look back at them and you realize it's not really a dive, but the ref is still going to nail them for embellishment. So it's one of those ones where it has to be reviewed and if to be determined if supplemental discipline is necessary.
And let's be real. I mean, if you get labeled a diver in this league,
you're going to be watched.
You'll be watched the entire time and you will never get the benefit of the doubt. There's a few times this year. Let's just put it into perspective for a second. We're going to bring this back around full circle, bring back the Moncton Wildcats. There's a few times this year, if they were giving out suspensions for diving, we likely would have seen Alexander Havanoff suspended a few games. He's, you know, for a guy who was drafted in the third round, for a guy who's about to be a professional hockey player, sometimes he's a little light on his feet. But ultimately, that's just my opinion, but that's a great question. Thanks for asking.
Darren Schofield. So now the trade deadline's over, our new decor, Huntley and Antalainen in for Lacoute and Tucker. Are we a net gain, a net loss, a net even, as he frames it?
Net gain. Definitely.
I think so.
The decor in the second half looks much better than it did in the first half.
Without a question, which we talked about leading into that trade period. Once the rumors started floating around about Simon Lacoute, who again was having the best season of his junior career, bringing in Antalainen, bringing in the moves, bringing in everything they've done right.
Yeah.
I think Moncton's D is going to, you're going to see a few things change. I mean, Jordan Spence right now, let's be real. We've talked about him nonstop on this show, rightfully so, as he deserves to be talked about. Anytime you are able to see a 17-year-old rookie defenseman come into the league and do what he's done with the confidence he's done it in, and now you're bringing in guys, like I said, When that acquisition happened, it's a good thing. Because one of the things Moncton, I mean, offense was great. Loved watching Simon Lacoute do what he did. But we were missing that stay-at-home defense. Like that, again, he's not the biggest guy in size, Antalainen, but he does things right. And he's the kind of defenseman you want on this hockey club.
When you talk about Spence, and I asked you guys this off the air, are you surprised that Lacoute and Spence are still the top pair just on the fact that they're so offensive? They both want to go as opposed to, first of all,
Lacoute's not here anymore.
I said Aspro and Spence.
You said Lacoute.
All right.
But that's fine.
Aspro and Spence. Yeah. Are you surprised they're still, I guess not surprised, but they're both so offensive.
Well, the question is what do you do? I mean, Aspro is clearly on your top line.
Yep.
You can't not have Spence on your top
line. And he's earned it, yeah.
Right. I mean, so what are your options? So your chances are you could move Aspro to the second pairing and let him play with maybe Antalainen. But even then, like I like the give and go that he has with Aspro. The confidence is there, the chemistry's there. Aspro, who has shown flashes that he's not afraid to lead the puck up ice, try to get it in deep, skate after it. I mean, he scored himself a couple backdoor goals when he skated in a la Keith Yandel style back in 06. I like the pairing, and it's only going to get stronger as the year progresses and goes out. I'm hoping to see bigger things from Sylvester for the second half of the year. I'm really looking forward to seeing him. I mean, we talked about big physical defensemen. I think we're about to see the best he has coming up. I really do. I'm feeling confident in it. I hope so.
You, anything? No, you good?
I'm good, man.
Sweet.
Chris covers right. everything.
Stop.
Well,
I'm just trying to get make it up for last week, boys. Thanks for carrying the weight.
So usually at this point we get into the Cats regular season record, but we're going to call a little bit of an audible because Jeremy is...
Omaha!
He's been talking about it all day. He's jacked.
I want to apologize to the listeners who just went deaf.
He's
Peyton Manning, baby.
The great one, buddy.
That's right. I'll go on your team.
Buddy. Peyton Manning. Forehead of champions. SNL, Peyton Manning. United Way, kids skit. Still to this day, the best skit SNL's ever put out. Talk to your kids so Peyton Manning doesn't have to. Carry on. Sorry, Adam.
He was like, he was worried about that because he's out there throwing Nerf balls at kids. Just like, yeah, do it. The dads are like, yeah, no, you whip that thing at him. No, you make it
out of your ass and then threw a ball at him.
It was one of the, he's one of the best. So major news announced today at the press conference. We have a new coach, John Torchetti.
And director of hockey operations.
Takes over as head coach and GM. Yes, he was a coach in 06-07. Gentlemen, the floor is yours because I just don't have a frame of reference.
Fantastic hire.
Ding, 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 ding. You called it.
I think it was one of my three last week. Yep. But yeah, like you said, Adam, head coach and GM of the Wildcats in 06-07. He was the GM who was responsible for trading the late Luc Bourdon to Cape Breton. Actually got, Mark Barberio and a first-round pick. That first round pick was then flipped back for Scott Brannon.
Correct.
Man, I'm good.
Nailed it.
It's on my screen, but whatever.
I love Scotty Brannon. You don't have to tell people that.
I'm just trying to.
Scotty was great, man. I like Scott Brannon. He was a good captain here, too.
Yeah. 12 years of coaching experience in the NHL plus AHL, if you want to throw it in there, too.
KHL.
KHL for 1 year. Hey, he's from Boston, so you know what that's going to do. Probably help with recruiting some New England kids.
Well, you said, I think it was you were telling me, he also has a hockey school himself in Chicago.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Runs a hockey school in Illinois every summer, so that's a pretty good chance of us landing some quality free agents as well. And you look at his connections, like he's going to help with the European draft as well. Like I said it last week, I said I wanted a young voice, but I also said that knowing Mr. Irving, he would be bringing in somebody that's familiar with. This is exactly what happened. And anybody watched the press conference today, Mr. Irving said, I called John on the way back from PEI on Sunday. I hope to God Mr. Irving wasn't on the bus because there was somebody else on the bus that, you know, could have possibly overheard that conversation and knew it was coming. But that's Mr. Irving knew what he was doing.
I guess I'm just really curious to see, because I mean, as soon as that happened, as soon as the conversation started going, unfortunately, Darren Rumble was relieved of his duties. And I thought that it was also very classy of Mr. Irving to make reference to Darren before the presser started today, right?
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, this was strictly a business decision. That's all it was. Everyone wishes Rums the best, you know. But again, you have to move forward. There was clearly an issue with the organization. Things weren't going. They started off on such a hot foot. We had talked about it. The media had been talking about it forever. Were they overachieving? And we all kept saying, no, no, no. And then all of a sudden, thanks to Jeremy last week, basically told everybody that we are the reason they are terrible
now.
How
did you feel about that, by the way?
I agreed with him. I was in the car and I was just like, damn it, he's right.
I know. I was looking
at him. This is on me. This is on me.
I was looking at him going, yeah, that's bang on.
But at the same time, it's to go back to the kind of coach Torchetti is. You know, I saw some pretty good quotes and some pretty good reads from former Moncton Wildcats, you know, out to Craig Eagles talking about what kind of guy they were, what kind of guy Torch is. And, you know, to get those kind of accommodations and recommendations from former players who were big names in this organization, Matt Marquardt has scored arguably one of the biggest goals in Wildcat history.
Assisted by, of course, one of the best.
The best players in the National Hockey League, right? Brad Marchand, at the age of 16 years old,
that's
I think, right? Okay? during the Memorial Cup run. I mean, when he jumps up, climbs the glass, it's historic. It's historic.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost basically Lambeau leaped into the front row at the Coliseum.
Which helps when he's 6'5".
It helped, yeah. He literally didn't have to jump that high, got his hands up and pulled himself up. But yeah, you know, Christian Gaudette, and you see all these guys come through here, and Matt Eagles, you know, I mean, it was amazing to see. So it has a lot of weight behind it when you get that kind of, you know, that kind of recommendation from these former players. He was great today on the microphone. I enjoyed listening to him talking about, and he didn't bat an eye there. He said, guys, you know, I'm here. I want to teach. I love to teach. He's got some great pro experience. Won a Stanley Cup with the Blackhawks. You know, back as an assistant coach to Quenneville, pretty good guy to have on your other side. It's a huge hire for the Wildcats. And, you know, it's not like he left on bad terms when he left. Mm-hmm. He left because he had a pro job to take.
Who wouldn't?
Right. And I mean, and that just also goes to show you what kind of man Mr. Irving is, right? Because he wishes nothing. He wished John nothing but the best.
Right.
So to have this guy come back, and we talked about this off air as well, was Moncton needed, because junior hockey seems to be going the way of the coach slash director of hockey operations. That's the kind of role you're looking to hire. In Moncton's case, you know, when you had Darren Rumble behind the bench and you had Roger Shannon, or you had interim director of hockey operations, Richie Tebow, which is great to hear that he's going to stay on as the assistant director of hockey operations and, of course, head scout, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's amazing that now we have this into one role. Either great hire by the Wildcats. Yep. Really excited. Not going to take him long to get his feet to the fire. I think he was on the ice this afternoon.
Right after the
press conference. Yeah, and then as soon as that was done, tomorrow night, they've got Cape Breton in town. So he even said himself, he's like, I'm excited for tomorrow. He'll get a chance to see what this is going to do. He is going to demand a lot from his players, and he said that right on the microphone. He's a winning coach. He wants to win. If it's not winning, he'll fix what's broke.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not afraid to. He's not afraid to do what he has to do.
Another huge benefit. This isn't a one-and-done deal like he was last time. Like,
no.
He signed for the rest of the season and then three more seasons on top of that. So he's with the Wildcats until the end of the 2023 season. Obviously, I'm sure there's an out clause if he gets another opportunity in the NHL, but just based on the way he was talking today, he's pretty loyal to the Wildcats organization.
Absolutely, and he was talking about Mr. Irving and how excited he was to be there, and course talked about the Avenir Center and how pro that is and how great the locker
room
is
compared to the Red Wings or locker room,
right? Yeah. I mean, you know, anybody who's got that kind of talent. But so I'll tell you who I'm looking to see succeed the most under this hire.
That was my next question.
Okay. Alexander Hovanov.
Yep,
he's the guy. You know, obviously he, you know, with Torch's ties to the National Hockey League, and you know,
plus he coached in Arizona.
Minnesota.
Why did I say Arizona?
Clean it up!
Minnesota.
Right.
So unless their AHL team as well.
Right. So because he's affiliated with Minnesota, don't think for 2 seconds that he's not in Hovanov's ear.
Yeah.
Don't think about it, because of course he is. We had a chance to see Alexander, you know, finally when they broke that slump in that win the other day against Charlottetown.
Four assists
on the day. These guys knew what was happening. These guys are looking to succeed. They're looking to have a good time, and overall, I'm fired up. I can't wait to see Torch behind the bench tomorrow night. Tough first game for him.
Tough schedule.
Heptage is still behind the bench, correct?
Oh, correct.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but he didn't bring an assistant with him or anything like that, did he? No. It'd just be those two?
Just those two.
Okay.
I'm not sure who it was that tweeted it, but he actually put up a picture after the Torch ID announcement of a picture of Dan Aykroyd from Christmas with the Cranks.
Hilarious.
Just the similarities between, like, I guess Vic Frohmeyer was his character name and John Torchetti. My man, that was awesome. I was like,
that's, now that you say that, absolutely.
So
I don't even know where I was gonna go with that.
You said that's where I was going to go with that when I brought up Alexander Hovanov.
Yeah, who's the most likely to succeed under him? Like, what kind of style of a coach was he that translated? I mean, obviously what he did back in 06-07 doesn't quite translate, but he's had, like you said, a lot of experience. Who's the guys that
Jeremy's loving these double-double timbits.
I got a shout-out here to Tim Hortons. Sorry to go off topic, boys, but
that's what we do.
He's double-double timbits?
Off the chains.
Rockstar.
Off the chains.
This is like Guy Fieri Flavortown.
Oh, that's amazing. Glad I could help, bud.
See how much better it is when you're here?
Oh, my goodness.
Although eggnog cookies were pretty good last week.
Those were pretty damn good.
So where's your double-double eggnog?
I got to give the nod to the homemade cookies. Love and soul went into those.
Yeah.
Maybe some rat big poison.
Fan, big fan of the double-double.
Oh, and yeah, allspice was the third one. All when spice? You were guessing. Yeah, when I you were guessing. That. Yeah. That was all impressive. Spice. He's like, I'm going to guess eggnog, some cinnamon, and allspice. I'm like, yeah, two out of the three. I don't know what the third one is.
Holy speaking of Guy Fieri.
No, that's a Gordon Ramsay blind taste test right there.
It's true. And then after it wasn't good, did you throw it back at her and be like, you're an idiot. Where's the lamb sauce?
He grabbed both cookies and just, what are you, an idiot sandwich?
Hilarious.
The players that you said have Havanoff that are most likely to succeed under him.
I mean, the whole team should succeed under bringing a guy like this in. But like I said, he's the guy I'm looking for. We need a huge second half from him. Going back a few episodes, Jeremy talked about what he would have, you know, some improvements player-wise for the first half of the season. He was expecting more out of Havanoff. I think we just caught a glimpse of it against Charlottetown the other night. Looking for big things.
You have someone?
I can't really put a... I mean, there's not really a player like that I think will benefit. They're all going to benefit.
Right.
I mean, anytime you can bring in a guy with John Torchetti's resume, right, and his experience and what he knows, the main word, the word I heard the most today was teach. Just loves to teach his players. So it's, and they're going to take with it. Like, they're going to run away with this.
Right.
He's going to be an ambassador for these kids as well. Like, there's going to be scouts and other GMs in the league and the NHL that are going to be calling about these kids. And this is a coach who I feel will be able to give an honest opinion about all the players that he's looking after.
All right.
You satisfied with that?
Yeah, that's good. Let's get to the Cats. Let's get to their regular season record. 25-14, 3-2, 55. Third in the Maritime, fourth in the Eastern Conference, which means we would play Charlottetown in round one if the playoffs started. So it's basically going
to
be...
If I was going to pick a round one matchup, that's the one I want right now.
As opposed to Cape Breton or Rimouski?
Well, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
For no other reason other than the fact that I do believe that Moncton is as good as their record started the year with. I don't know what happened. I don't know, obviously, if it was just a chemistry thing. I don't know if it was a locker room thing. I might even chalk it up to the fact that there was a lot of players and a lot of names thrown around during the trade period. You get that in your head, so maybe you're nervous. Who knows? At the end of the day, it's come and gone. The new season starts now. Charlottetown, on paper, and this isn't a shot at the Charlottetown Islanders right now because they are going to be unreal in years to come. But for right now, they made the moves that, I'm not going to say weakened their team.
Set them up for the
future. But set them up for the future to a point where they're fine for the picking. That'd be a good tune-up for round one for the Moncton Wildcats. But again, the playoffs don't start now.
Nope. We have a lot of time in between that.
Plus, I think a beauty series between us, and that would be my ultimate revenge on Hockey Hat Guy. Yeah. I may have lost all those bets to start the season, but all that matters is come playoff time.
That's exactly correct. 13-6-1 on the road, 12-8-2 at home. So Friday, the first game in the Heptich era, albeit small. The Cats came out strong. Pelt scored with 25 seconds in, but let's be honest, it was, like I said, it was their best period in 3 weeks, but they couldn't sustain it. Going down 5-1 to Rennaranda, who just basically showed why they're the number one team in the queue.
I'm going to take this one to start, Jeremy, just so I can head it off, because a lot of things that you just said, and it's not just at you, anger me. For the simple reason that people talk about the Moncton Wildcats and their great first period and this and that, statistically speaking, maybe it's been their best period we've seen in a while, but they didn't look great. They didn't look unreal.
No, they still got
they a scored shot. A goal 10 seconds in. On what looked like Harvey not paying attention. Now, I'm not trying to take away from the goal. It was a great goal.
Yeah.
Put pressure on early. But as soon as that happened, Rouyn-Noranda wasn't playing Rouyn-Noranda type hockey. Like, I mean, see what they've done throughout the whole trip. Plus, they had a pretty good road trip themselves. No. And as that game went on and on and on, you proved exactly how good that team actually is. Noah Dobson didn't look like Noah Dobson in that first period. To watch what these kids are capable of doing was mind-blowing. Now, the positives on that, to be the best, you got to beat the best.
Yep.
So kudos to Moncton for, you know, at the end of the first period. You know, there was a goal, I think, you know, was it that? Trying to remember. I don't remember now. But there was a situation. Oh, Adam Capinelli had a wide open net to tie the game, basically right before the, like, not that far before the end of the period. Mm-hmm. Would have been a game changer that game. Would it have changed the outcome? No. But it would have changed the way the game was played. He fired it off the post. He had a one-timer, great look. Power play seemed to be clicking well. That's the one good takeaway I'll take from that game. But at no point, and I don't want anyone to kid themselves, do I think that the Wildcats were in that game. And again, and I hate being so brutally honest sometimes, and maybe it's because I've been in the media for so long.
Don't feel bad about being brutally honest. I called this team a hot mess last week.
Fair. Now, that's a great game for them. That's a building block for them.
Yeah.
The thing that made me the angriest about it all was the next day when people were talking, when the final score was posted, for anybody who doesn't go to the games, doesn't follow the queue, doesn't do any of this stuff, talks about the Wildcats are still slumping. Still slumping. Number two team in the country, number one team in the league, comes into your building, beats your team, which was expected,
yep,
and yet you're slumping.
Yeah.
Give your head a shake. In fact, I've come to a new point where I understand that the internet basically has no rules, but here's my idea, and I hope everybody's listening. If you don't follow this organization, if you don't follow the QMJHL, if you don't even like hockey, but you just feel like commenting because you think it's cool to do, I almost swore. That was close. Holy jumpins. Just go away. People don't need you. People don't want your opinions. Nobody cares.
It's the same parking people.
Right. Right. Now that people can't complain about parking, they complain about this.
Yeah.
Anyways, bottom line is, yeah, it was a great game for the Moncton Wildcats. You know, it was a good loss. It was a good building block. What was Hep supposed to do? Josh Heptich, first day on the job as a head coach, you're stacked against the best team in the league. I think he did well. He rolled his lines well. Yeah. You know, he improved on that power play. Got his second win in game two. That's my thoughts. Anyways, sorry. Didn't mean to take so much time.
No, it's okay. I'm just going to look back at a text message conversation you and I had, Chris, Friday night.
Was I drinking?
No. Okay. I hope not.
Okay.
You said to me at...
wait a second. Is this evidence? Are you holding this against me? What's happening right now?
Chris Dobson, I will say that as good as Moncton's looked so far, it's more Ruin Aranda looking bad.
That's right. And I said it that night. That was
the first period. I replied and I said, agreed. Moncton better be ready for this period. Ruin will be coming hurt. Well, and they came.
They did.
They came.
Yeah.
There was an explosion of goals following that first period. Sorry.
Yeah. No. No, you're right. It was a good conversation. But again, and I'm not trying to take away from this team. Guys, like, going into this game, a win would have been unbelievable. But if you went into this game expecting a win from a fan standpoint, you need to understand what you're up against.
Yeah.
Do I think they're capable of beating them? I do. I really do. I believe we are good enough to score at will with the best teams in the league when we're on. I believe the new decor, which was one of the first questions you would ask us during the fan question,
yep,
the way this new defense looks, once it's worked itself out, that's a tighter game. We'd never beat them in a 7-game series. But at the same time, in a 1-game shootout, I think we could give Ruan Aranda a run for their money once we figure out the systems. Once Torchetti's got his systems in place, we have the offense to beat any team in this league. But a lot of things have to change.
Yes. Last week, you had said the trade that you... we're most interested in with Ruin Aranda was Teasdale.
That's correct.
And oh my God, is that dude worth every pick that they paid for him?
Habs prospect Joel Teasdale.
Like,
whink.
I saw him play once last year, so you kind of don't know what he is, but oh my goodness, is so he worth every pick that they so paid good. For him? If people want to call it an overpay for him, he's
and,
worth every pick.
And he
pick.
Looks like he's 35, so.
Yeah. That is
also a fact.
That is very true.
Someone should check his breath. What movie was that?
Is that I'm 12.
The Benchwarmers?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When the Cuban?
Yeah.
He's on the, and it's just literally just a piece of paper with a crayon. It says, I'm 12. Amazing. Sorry. Sorry.
All right. And then Sunday, the Wildcats broke two streaks with a 4-1 win over the Islanders, giving Josh Heptis his first QMJHL victory. They beat the Islanders after four tries, and they got the first win of the year. That was one of the better efforts that we've seen. Like, they came out ready to go and responded after taking it on the chin from Ruin Aranda, which you kind of expected.
one of the best games I've seen from Alex Ivanov. He was just dialed in. Who else played good? Everybody played good.
Jeremy McKenna.
Yeah.
Always plays well against the Islanders.
Top line was
that bad. Pass on the power play was
unbelievable. Unreal. But that just goes to show the vision of Alexander Havana.
And yeah, Matty Welsh fell, but still, I don't think he was getting to that clapper just from fell. McKenna.
Undressed. Yeah. Like,
you want to talk about
cut an edge and down he goes.
You want to talk about fell. That goal on LeClair, where it was like east-west, and then Alexandrov just had a wide-open net. You want to talk about wide-open. That was just, that's what we needed, right? We needed to get a W, then you get a build on that, and get, like, what? Win the rest of the games the rest of the year?
Right. Makes sense.
Win out.
So look at the lines. And of course,
Win out, have the best record.
But the thing I want to talk about that's super interesting about that entire game, Heptich juggled the lines. Mm-hmm. Brady Pataki was on the top line.
Yep.
To start that game.
And we all went, what?
I didn't. I did not do that. In fact, I was having this conversation with Alex Arsenault, our good buddy, Make Parking Great Again. And I was saying to Al.
Now he's talking about Make Christmas Tree Pickup.
Oh my God. The guy's got to pick, a problem and stick with it. but anyways, what I was saying was the thing about Pataki, and this is what I loved about having a guy like him on the top line, it does two things. One, Pataki has proven when he's energized, Pataki can hit like a truck. Number two, he is creating space for Jacob Pelche to do his thing.
Yeah.
What's that do? Automatically, that makes our second line probably one of the best second lines in the league. Dangerous. You know, so when you've got Pelche, McKenna, and Pataki in the top, you're freeing up all kinds of room for these guys. And then on the second line, when you've got Havanoff, Mika Seer, you know, like, it's unreal. And then, of course, the power play was clicking well. I shouldn't say that. I think they went 1-for-5 that day. but the puck movement was good. It's something we haven't seen in a lot. Jordan Spence was shooting the puck more. Aspero was shooting the puck more. These are the things I liked out of that team. There was a moment in that game where I got a little nervous. And that was because it looked like Moncton started to take their foot off the gas just a little bit.
But was that at about 3-1?
Could have been, yeah.
In the third period.
Right. But still, you're not in a position right now to take any time off.
No.
You need to just keep putting it down. And again, worked out well for them. They kept scoring everything. At the end of the day, it was a win. But we got flashes of exactly. So, yeah. So, Havanoff had 3 assists that game. So, he had 3 points. Mika Seer had a goal and an assist. Jeremy McKenna had 2 goals. Pelche had a goal and an assist. All the guys that you required scoring from that everyone's been talking about in the newspaper. We need more from our top line. Well, guess what? The top line was here. We had to move them around, but those guys all promised.
And the bottom six was there. They were aggressive. They were hitting. And when Moncton is aggressive and hits, that just makes the whole thing go and allows the stars to be stars because there's more room out there.
So there was a point in that game that scared. It's twice now. This has happened in the last couple weeks with Charlottetown where there's guys who have dropped the gloves. Who I'm not okay with dropping the gloves. I'm going to go back a couple games to when Jeremy McKenna dropped the gloves in Charlottetown. At no point ever should that happen.
Nope.
This time, Jacob Hudson dropped the gloves.
What do you have against Jacob Hudson dropping the gloves?
I like Jake, but he is not the guy I want to see. I'm not saying he can't do it because he's tough. I don't want it. I want to see him score. Jacob's got so much talent, it's crazy. I don't want him to get hurt. It scares me.
Yeah.
You've got guys like, and again, our good buddy, happy birthday goes out to Dylan Seitz today. You got guys like him. He's he's the guy.
Pataki.
Those Sylvest. Are the guys.
Yeah.
Sylvest. But again, and I understand what you're saying, Jeremy, and this is just my own personal opinion. Huddy is so talented that if by the off chance, and let's be fair, he's had injuries in the past. I don't want to see him out of this lineup. Now, do I love the fact that he dropped the gloves at that time? Of course I
did.
But I wish it wasn't him. Glad everything's okay. It obviously worked. It did what it's supposed to do. And hockey's a game. I'm just a guy coaching from a table in your basement, bud.
Yeah, no, that's... And he's the wife's best player.
Fought Kevin Grisoy.
Yeah.
So it's like, Anyways.
It's a good trade-off, but I have no problem with Jacob Hudson fighting. I think he's got every single piece of his body that's willing to fight.
Without a question.
Yeah.
Like, who's his uncle? Dennis Bonvy? One of the toughest.
Right. I get what you're saying, dude.
And he's the one that's he teaches Jacob to fight in the offseason.
I get what you're saying. And I get it. Maybe it's because we don't wrong see it punch enough.
And we but lose no, but him he's, for a while.
But Jeremy is right.
Yeah.
He's being trained by a pro.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it just it scares me. I just didn't want to see it.
If Jacob Hudson scares you, how did you feel when Connor Garland fought Felix Martineau?
I didn't like that either.
Definitely didn't like that. Connor Garland smashed his face on the ice.
I remember that game. I didn't like that either.
Was he out for a while?
No.
Next shift?
I don't think he missed the shift. Like, it was a scary moment in Moncton. Hush fell over. Like, when his helmet came off.
Like, the Kipperos where he just,
like, helmet comes off and he falls, head hits the ice.
Yeah.
Yikes. And he was out the next shift.
I think he was...
Maybe the shift after. He wasn't out long.
Definitely back the next
game. Yeah, he was definitely... Well, I don't even think he missed the rest of the game. Yeah. I could be wrong, but I know that obviously he was looked at pretty quick.
So, very much a different kind of hockey back then.
But at the same time, look, man, like... Look,
the only worry I have with Hudson fighting at that time.
If you're listening, man, I love you to death. And if you have to pound on these guys because you're a pro to do it, just don't get hurt while you're doing it, brother. That's all
I'm saying.
Keep
fighting.
Yeah.
The only worry is if that goes against him and Charlottetown gets momentum from that, because I think at that time it was 3-1. That's your only worry in those type of games.
Anyways, we're speculating on a situation that didn't happen. That's so true. At the end of the day, you asked me. That was the only thing to me, but I guess you guys are making me feel like I'm an idiot for suggesting it.
No.
So I'm going to back off now.
No, we don't do that.
Hey, shut up.
I will say, though, Huddy is Layla's favorite player. She calls him a little pit bull. All right, so let's get to the preview of this week's games coming up.
Mr. 305. Oh, not that pit bull? Okay.
Daddy! Oh, I don't think I'll ever listen to a pit bull song again.
I'm a fireball.
That's rather impressive.
I blacked out what happened.
All right, games this week, back-to-back with Cape Breton starting tonight.
Tomorrow? Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're releasing this on Wednesday. All right, the magic of the internet.
The intertube.
Well, we can't do it on Wednesday because there's a game tomorrow, tonight. back-to-back with Cape Breton. And then off to the Scotiabank Center against the Mooseheads. No Kool-Aid that, you know, our fault type thing. What are we honestly expecting from these three? Because that... Like we said last week, it's a murderer's row in schedule-wise, and two of these three are on the road, which they played better at.
Jeremy, you go first.
I think you're going to see a very, very good Wildcats team on Friday night. Well, no, Friday night.
Wednesday night?
Wednesday night.
Holy crap, I'm so messed
holy
up.
Holy crap, it's a grapple.
Wednesday night? Okay, against Cape Breton.
Wednesday. Here.
When is what is Friday?
Friday is in Cape Breton.
In Cape Breton, and then Saturday is in Halifax.
Holy. Okay. Tomorrow night.
Tonight.
Wednesday night.
January the 16th. Against the Cape Breton Screaming Eagles. I'm expecting a pretty energized team. They're not going to want to take their foot off the gas in Torch Eddie's first game.
No!
I don't want to drink the Kool-Aid, but I think we're probably going to get at least six glug, past. We're going to get put six on the board.
Ooh, Jeremy's betting the over.
That's just I just think it's going to be just a very strong performance. Sadly, it's probably only going to see about 3,500 people there for tomorrow.
Hey.
For the game on January the 16th.
Announced today.
Yes.
Or yesterday, depending on when you're listening to this. The Moncton Wildcats are releasing tickets online. Code is Torchetti, TORCHETTI. You buy those online, you're saving 33% at the box office. I mean, online, right? So when you're buying these things online, save yourself some money, save yourself some lineups. Neil Lodge had a great article in the Times and Transcript this week about buying your tickets online because people were complaining about how cold it is to wait outside and the tickets and this and that. We live in an area, and I understand not everybody is going to buy their tickets online. These, unfortunately, are the same idiots who don't bank online. Sorry if I just offended you. I apologize. I'm a millennial. At the end of the day, buy your tickets online, guys. Avoid the cold. It is absolutely freezing in Moncton right now. If you can get inside and stay warm, by all means, please just order your tickets online. Save 33%, code Torchetti. And no, the Wildcats did not pay me to say that.
You also save when it's not 33% off when you order them online. You save the fees. So instead of
fees,
$23, it's $21, but whatever. Your expectations of these out of six possible points?
Okay. So I will break this down game by game quickly. I am going to agree with Jeremy. I actually think Moncton comes away with a win tomorrow night on home ice. And if they don't, it will be a very hard-fought battle. Francis LeClaire has been playing very good hockey yep. as of late. Yep. Very pleased with how he's rebounded. It's now the game in Cape Breton. I think after Moncton wins on the 16th, they're going to go into Cape Breton, and Cape Breton's not going to take that game very lightly. I think it's going to be a very physical affair. I've got Moncton going 1-1-1 over the next three games. I will say one win, one loss, one overtime loss.
That's exactly what I was going to say when you were done.
Sure was.
With 3 points. Because when you get a new coach, you generally play because you're trying to impress them.
You play to win the game.
You usually play better, you know. And so I was going to say the win on the 16th and probably the loss in Cape Breton and then the overtime win in Halifax.
You're taking the overtime win in Halifax?
Yeah, why not?
So they're coming away with 4 points then is what you're saying.
Yeah, my bad.
I like math.
No,
I'm going to take 3 points. I'm going to go 1-1.
Before Adam just changed his prediction, I was actually going to say the same thing. Regulation win, regulation loss, overtime, or shootout win.
Really?
Yeah.
I like it.
You
guys are right. I mean, I would be stoked if somehow Moncton takes 4 to 6 points. Stoked.
Well.
Are they capable?
Yes.
Isn't my prediction 5 of 6? Am I saying 5 of 6 points?
No.
2 wins and never mind. Yeah, 4.
I like math.
I'm so friggin' bad, man.
Man, this is unreal, boys. 2 plus 2 is 4.
I'm so smart.
SMRT. SMRT. Either way, boys, you're predicting 2 wins and a loss is what you're predicting.
2 wins and a loss.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm going 4 points. 1 win, 1 loss, 1 OT loss for 3 points total.
Okay.
You guys are going 4 points.
Yeah.
I'd be over the moon. In fact, I will make this deal to you right now, and I will let you film it and put it on Twitter if this is correct. If the Moncton Wildcats come away with 4 points or more somehow over the next three games, I will do a shirtless cartwheel in your basement.
How about you do next week's show shirtless?
I'll do that.
Yeah,
anyway.
But how are we going to concentrate?
With this beauty of a dad bod.
Don't look at
dad bod.
Don't look. When you look at the count, like we got 3 and 4 nights, and then we have the week off. It's the popular question in back-to-backs.
That's the other thing you got to remember, too, boys, is that you've got 3 games and 4 nights against arguably the top 2 teams in the division.
Yeah. Is Lavalette playing one of them? Or is LeClaire playing all 3 with the bye week?
Oh, you'd have...
Right?
Oof.
Because he's been playing lights out. That's a tough back-to-back from Cape Breton to Halifax.
You know what? If I'm Torchetti, obviously you're going to see what your starting goaltender's got. You may play Lavalette Friday night against Cape Breton on the road. Maybe. Yep. Just so Torch can take a look at what his backup goaltender looks like.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to play it, you're not going to play your backup against the Mem Cup in Halifax. Or maybe you do. Who knows? I'll say you might see Lavalette one game over the weekend.
I'm going with Chris. I will say, though, I think Lavalette will play. I would give him the Halifax game.
Why not?
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. No, I like it. One of the two. I mean, either way,
we're not surprised if LeClaire plays all 3 with the week off, right?
I'd actually be surprised.
Really?
I would be surprised if he plays all 3. Not saying he won't, but I'd be surprised if he does.
All right. Good to know.
Either way, it's going to be whatever game, if Lavalette gets a game. I mean, you're at a point now where the kid's confidence is kind of a little shook after the last few games he's played. What better way to rebound yourself than playing one of the top teams in the league?
Yep.
Play well. Get that confidence back.
Standing on your head.
All right. We still got your back, Lav. We still got your back.
Yep. Mr. Dobson. Your cat of the week.
I'm going to go with the Russian superstar. I've been thinking about it the last couple of days.
Daniil Kuzmin?
That's the one. That's the one. No. Alexander Havanov had a great game against Charlottetown. If I was to say, like I said, I'm expecting big things from him in the second half of the year. I think this was just a start for him. This line juggling, new coach who's affiliated with the NHL team he's drafted by. He looked fantastic on the ice, didn't take any stupid penalties. Life is good for him right now. He's my cat of the week.
Yeah, you do that so much better than I did. Fans know it. They love it. Your stick tap of the week, Mr. Boucher.
Do they really love it, though?
I get comments all the time.
Love it.
Fantastic.
Really? How come you never told me this? You've never given me this information.
Because this one is a good one.
It's a gooder. It's a gooder.
It's a gooder.
It's a gooder.
I'm so fired up.
Woo!
about John Torchetti.
Already getting a stick tap.
Can I finish?
No, you can't. You got me excited. No, you got me fired up now.
We want to guess.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm so fired up about him being named head coach and director of hockey operations. I'm 100% confident that he is the right person for the job. I mentioned his name last week as being a candidate. With that said, I have to give the stick tap of the week to Moncton Wildcats president, Mr. Robert Irving. So anyone who watched that press conference today, you can tell how committed he is to winning.
Oof, I guess.
Yeah.
Mr. Irving said the word win or winning 13 times during his 8-minute speech.
Wow.
So if any of our listeners out there like drinking games.
So you can hold it against me if I'm wrong here. But you will start to see the real Moncton Wildcats return. January the 16th. Right here.
Right here in the basement?
What? In the Moncton Evanier Center.
Attaboy, buddy. Good plug.
Against the Caperton Scrim and Heggles.
Pat McNeil and the Cape Breton Screaming Eagles.
Pat McNeil and the Cape Breton Screaming Heggles.
You know what? I will say this, man. Fantastic stick tap this week.
I thought you were going to give it to yourself, actually, for calling it, but good job.
I don't think he called it. I think he had information.
Just throwing it out there. Names.
You got one.
Anyways, bottom line is great stick tap.
Thank you.
Absolutely well deserved. President, Mr. Robert Irving.
If you're listening, Mr. Irving.
And I hope you are.
We hope you are.
Just know. Fantastic hire. We're looking for big things. # plan the parade.
And the tattoos.
Yeah. Le tattoo.
All right. Any last thoughts before we get to overtime or just get to overtime?
You got anything?
I don't think. No. And if I do, you know me, I'll ruin overtime.
Yep. Fair enough.
Give me about 20 seconds here because there's a few things I did want to throw out. So we got the site's birthday.
Happy birthday, big bud.
Also today, our play-by-play man, Tim Rozelle, celebrating his birthday.
Okay. Oh, that would be why you thought they were throwing a birthday party on that picture.
Speaking of great hires by the Wildcats, and I'm not trying to take away outside of Rogers TV's Jerry Green, I would think that Tim Rozelle is the best in the business. Anytime you get to listen to Tim do his thing, and Tim is one of the most humble, amazing people I've ever had the experience to sit down and talk to, to watch exactly how Tim does his thing, the relationship and the rapport he has with the organization and the players. Tim loves us so much. He drives to and from St. John every day to be here. That's how committed Tim is. And he's an absolute gem of a human being. So if you're listening, Tim, happy birthday, bud.
Couple more. So we got Kyle Foreman, who will be celebrating his 18th birthday.
Forms.
On the 19th, which is Saturday.
Against Halifax.
Nice.
Then we have Elliot Dinoyer, who will be celebrating his 17th birthday on the 21st, which is Monday of next week.
Yes.
Oh, this is all before our next show. Okay, see what you're doing here.
And then next Tuesday... Big birthday month here in January for the Wildcats.
Oh my God, it's a lot of cake. Yeah.
Gabriel Sylvester next Tuesday.
21?
22nd.
20. No, but I'm asking how old will he be?
He will be 21.
Yeah, you?
21? No,
it's 22nd. Ineligible to play in the Quebec League. Just kidding.
I was like, 21? 22nd. I was like, no, what's his age? But yeah, his birthday's on the 21st.
That's right.
All right, perfect. But he will be 21 years old.
Making him ineligible to play in the queue.
Don't be silly. Our listeners aren't that silly.
They're like, what?
You can turn 21 throughout the season.
I'm kidding. Happy birthday to all the boys having their birthday in the month of January.
I hope Form scores on his birthday. In Halifax, that'd be huge.
That would be.
Huge. Anyways, happy birthday to all the guys. That's awesome.
All right, overtime. Last week, Jeremy and I had a good movie debate. We put the poll up on Twitter. Tommy Boy, Step Brothers. He was fairly confident he was going to win that one. I thought I was going to lose it, to be honest with you. 50-50 tie. Chris, you get to break it.
It's a no-brainer. Tommy Boy wins every time. Only because, and take the sympathy vote out of this for a minute. And I understand, Jeremy, you're upset about this, but I am going to tell you right now why Tommy Boy takes this. As great as Step Brothers was, and will go down in my... It's the Catalina wine mixer. I will say... Tommy Boy is such a staple in cult comedy.
Yeah.
Between Chris Farley, David Spade, Rob Lowe.
The SNL cast.
The SNL 90s. Cast at all. The late, great Chris Farley. It was such a classic. Like, such a classic. I go back to so many different scenes that I mean, the Luke, I'm your father, into the fan. Like, just to start.
Housekeeping, you are meant for below.
I think my favorite quote that whole movie is, you know, a lot of people go to college for 7 years. And David Spade, yeah, they're called doctors. Great. It's just a great movie. Overall, two fantastic films. Both of them go down as unbelievable classic comedy movies. Got to give Tommy Boy the nod. Absolutely great movie. Black Sheep was terrible. Yeah. But Tommy Boy gets the win here. I know you're upset, bud, but how can you
without not? Tommy Boy, you may not get Step Brothers.
First of all, you shut your mouth. That's not possible at all.
Well, comedy-wise, like...
I'm not saying...
You know, the SNL comedy movie success that they had?
True, and Will right? Ferrell did spinoff from that. All right, I'll give you that.
That's where I... That's, you know...
But that's like...
Step Brothers is so good.
I wish they'd make a sequel to that. I wish they'd make a sequel to Talladega Nights. Anything those two guys did other than that new Sherlock Holmes movie, which was apparently garbage.
I was going to say, have you seen it?
John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell. They're so good in anything they do. I haven't seen it. I just looked at them. I think they were the first movie in like the history of movies to get like a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. It was crazy. Anyways, bottom line is...
Good for them.
Yeah, it was awesome. Sorry, carry on.
All right, so last week we had the quick question for the Maritime Podcast Division. For those of you guys that don't know, that's us, the Herdcast and the Hockey Hat Cast. So now John from the Herdcast is like, well, why don't we all do an overtime where we each have the topic? So I said, all right, you guys are up first. Because they weren't a fan of the movies they picked. They loved Forrest Gump. That's all they kept going back to.
Forrest Gump was a classic. Yeah. Forrest Gump's one of the best movies of all time.
I'm not debating it.
Forrest Gump invented ping pong.
And what?
Invented ping pong. He basically did everything.
Yeah, that's very
true. I, to this day, think about how iconic a movie has to be to create a fictitious shrimp company out of thin air that then becomes a shrimp company and sells merchandise.
Yeah.
And does very successful. The Bubba Gump Shrimp Company is unbelievable.
It is very good. I've actually been at their location in Santa Monica, California.
Yes, exactly. But again, wouldn't exist. They spun this out of thin air. I'll give you a quick 2 points if you know Bubba's real name in Forrest Gump.
No idea.
Shrimp is the fruit of the sea. You can barbecue it. Boil it, broil it, bake it, saute it. There's shrimp kebabs.
Jenna.
Creole.
My name's Forrest
Gump. Gumbo.
My friends
call me Pan-fried, deep-fried, stir-fried. There's pineapple shrimp, lemon shrimp, coconut shrimp, pepper shrimp. Oh,
John, this is for you, bud.
Shrimp Captain soup, Dan. Shrimp stew.
Lieutenant Dan has no legs.
Shrimp salad.
That's amazing.
Shrimp potatoes.
All right, let's carry on.
Burger.
Okay, we're good.
All right, I said the Herdcast was up first because they're alphabetically first. So they want to know, we're all going to figure this out, best sitcoms of all time. And the sitcoms had to have been on the air for 5 years.
Adam, you go first.
All right, I'm going to go with my three, and then we'll whittle it down, and we'll each have one and put it on our Twitter poll like we always do. Friends.
You know what we should do?
Yeah.
Let our fans vote. So each, like you put, when you put them up, put the three votes. We'll let the fans vote on each of the three of yours,
Yeah, okay.
Put all three of them up, and then once that's done, we'll all go head-to-head with the ones that were chosen by the viewers. We'll let the viewers re-vote again, or the listeners, excuse me, re-vote again on everyone's favorite. Declare the winner.
All right.
UFC-style, single elimination, Adam's Memorial Cup format. sorry, your three are. Go ahead.
Never going to live that down. Friends?
Never.
Boy Meets World. And Saved by the Bell.
Ooh, going with Topanga in there, eh?
Oh, who doesn't?
What a rocket.
Oh,
Topanga was.
You know how mad I was in real life when I found out that her and Corey didn't get married? I was
rattled. That was the girl that every guy had a crush on, and every mom was like, yeah.
Oh, really?
She could be my stepdaughter.
For me, it was Winnie Cooper from The Wonder Years.
Yeah. I'm going.
That's because I'm old.
Going Seinfeld, The Office, and Home Improvement.
It's a good stack.
Oof, that's tough because as we've had these conversations in the past and you stole one of my three.
That's okay.
I know. But yeah, no, for me, Seinfeld, of course, is a repeat. sorry, yeah, he's all tied up. Seinfeld. What was my other one? I told you earlier. I know. Obviously, one of them was Family Matters. That was gonna be my big surprise. That was my finale. So I had Seinfeld, Family Matters, and why did I forget this?
I can't even. I just all I'm thinking is Family Matters.
That's what. No, I know because I was so pumped on Steve Urkel.
Yeah.
Give me a sec. I'm gonna come back to this. Hold that thought.
Oh, got it.
Okay, who is it?
What Family Matters, Seinfeld, and The Office.
The Office. Holy jumpins! I'm an idiot.
I literally said it 2 seconds ago.
So you stole two of my three?
You not listen to me when I talk?
No, I listen when you steal my material. Wife. Oh my goodness. Yeah, no, The Office. 100% for sure. Out of those three, in my own personal opinion, I have to go with The Office. The Office is one of the best shows in the history of television. The Jim Dwight Asian gym prank to this day is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. Ever. Period. No ifs, ands, or buts. Do the Michael Skarn. But yeah, I can't believe I dinked that. I'm so sorry, guys. Yeah, it was The Office. But Family Matters, kudos to Family Matters. Carl Winslow for helping Bruce Willis save Nakatomi Plaza and Die Hard. Big shout out goes to Carl Winslow and Eddie. And
nobody picked Harriet Fresh Prince.
You know what, I had it on my short list, but no. Although, how sad was it? Brings me to tears every time when I see that Fresh Prince episode when Will's dad comes back into the picture and then he leaves and then Will starts to cry in front of Uncle Phil. Like, it gets me every time.
That
and when he gives Carlton drugs. Speed. Yeah. When Carlton gets speed, he starts to cry. That gets me too every time.
Or when he gets robbed and he has the gun. When Carlton has the gun because they get robbed at the ATB.
The ATM.
Or at the ATM. ATB. It's a bank in Alberta. Shut up.
The what?
It's an actual bank in Alberta.
Yeah. Alberta Treasury Branch.
That's right.
I'm not saying it's not, but who calls it that?
I don't know.
The automated teller bank.
Yeah, no, like I said, I had Fresh Prince on my short list.
That scene where that you're talking about where his dad comes back?
Yeah.
That was off the cuff. Like, there was a line, and then that, how come he don't want me, man? That was...
How come he don't want me, man? Yeah. And then Uncle Phil gives him a hug, knocks his hat off, makes me cry every time.
Yeah.
And then he has that little statue that he bought at the market, because Lou was a trucker, and Lou was just trying to get... Go to hell, Lou.
The 70s show, did you guys watch that?
I did. I watched that. I like that. So there's so many shows you could pick from. That 70s show obviously stemmed from the fantastic and arguably sexiest couple alive in Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis. Their kids are already destined to be supermodels.
You dumbass.
Red Foreman. But again, that also stemmed and helped grow, you know, The Ranch, which is currently on Netflix, right? You see where all these characters grow and develop from. But man, there were so many classics.
I had Third Rock from the Sun.
No, you can't pick that.
No, I looked at it. That was season one was funny.
Then how many seasons did they do with that?
I think it was just five. Like, it wasn't very many.
What was that? French Stewart, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
I never watched this.
Yeah. John Lithgow.
They were aliens as humans. It started off really funny.
John Lithgow was good in that.
Yeah.
Man, I could do this all day. Why don't we just do a podcast about old TV shows?
We could.
I'm going to throw a shout out to some people out there. It's not 5 years related, but if you're old enough to know and you ever saw J.D. Roth in the Funhouse, that was where it was at. That was where it was at. Married with Children, also a classic. The original Roseanne, also a classic.
I never watched that. The original Roseanne? I wasn't a fan of that one.
You know what?
There's a lot of people are.
I was a huge fan of the new Roseanne until she got all racist on me. And even then, still loved it.
You guys are big Seinfeld fans, obviously, because you picked it.
Huge.
Did you
not ever, Jerry Green huge, but huge.
Yeah. Did you ever get the beef between Seinfeld and Friends? Like, if you liked, there's fans that really love Seinfeld that can't stand Friends, and Friends fans that
if you
don't
haven't
like
gotten
them.
Into a fist fight over defending your favorite sitcom, then how big of a fan are you? I've been punched in the mouth three times now trying to defend Seinfeld over Ross.
Over Ross.
Well, it's two against one.
Pivot! Pivot!
I'm fine. I don't know why my voice is coming squeaky.
All right. Let's wrap this up.
Yep. Any... Jeremy, you're kind of quiet over there.
Him? Hamburgers?
Burgers. Burger King won the internet today, I'll tell you that much.
Oh my, yeah, it's a great tweet. Check it out.
We're also out of hamburgers.
All we have is hamburgers.
But that being said, guys, we have a huge game between the Moncton Wildcats and the Cape Breton Screaming Eagles.
On January 16th.
On January 16th, which is either tonight if you're listening today, or tomorrow if you realize we shot this the night before. Either way, great game. We got a great, huge weekend coming up. Tough opponents, tough matchups. I would suggest, again, don't forget coupon code Torchetti. If you're buying these tickets online tomorrow, save 33%. That being said, this weekend, if you're not at the games, watch them online. Big shout out goes to our good buddy Pat McNeil for tomorrow and Friday. And then, of course, the boys from the Herdcast on Saturday. Enjoy the game. They're going to be up here on the 26th, I believe, when Halifax makes the trip up.
Yes.
I was talking to Strobridge yesterday. Him and Peckham are coming up. So I said maybe we'd grab a couple adult beverages pregame.
And do this postgame.
There was some concerns. He was afraid that maybe you wouldn't let us actually shoot a show once we get a couple coolies in us. He was a little concerned. He said that he will go full raw and unedited and unfiltered, so we may have to put a special warning on next week's episode.
I got lots of sound bits to...
I think one day we should just cut out the sound bits and just let everybody know, hey, you know what? There's explicit material in this one. We'll see what happens. Either way...
Pay for premium Wildcast episodes,
either way, we've got three great games coming up. Congratulations goes out to John Torchetti. Super thrilled to have John on board. Again... Thanks for tuning in.
Yep, pretty much.
I didn't know you were doing the editing today.
You can follow us on the social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, search the Moncton Wildcast. Have a good night.